Time to hit the links with Ned Michaels and Barney Ellery. It's Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 104.5 The Zone.
A good Thursday night. See, I got it right this week. Thursday, our new slot. We've got live golf out in the desert of California. The Amex is going on. We'll update you on scores there. A correction to make with Butch Harmon and Jordan Spieth from last week. We were all fooled a little bit. Some updates on the tour schedule. We're going to break down what happened at the Sony. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the world of golf as we get the new year underway. Thanks for joining us here, Global Golf Radio, 615-737-1045. Ned Michaels, and as usual, my partner in crime, Barney Ellery. How are you, bud?
Good to be here, Ned. Good to see you.
And Ryan Albanese, by the way. Cannot leave Ryan Albanese out. He's the only guy in studio, and has been now for the – it's hard to believe, Barney, for the almost a year now we've been out of studio. That's crazy, crazy.
That's crazy.
But trying to stay healthy, and I hope all of you are out there as well. Barney, I first want to make a correction. I want to start with this because I went Johnny Miller on it, I'd have to say, last week and patted myself on the back a little bit, saying that, hey, Jordan Spieth, and I said it a couple of months ago, Jordan Spieth probably needed to part ways with Cameron McCormick, his longtime coach. And I didn't mean it in a they should never talk again kind of way, but go get some information from somebody else. Right, they've been working together for so long. Sometimes you hear the same thing over and over again. Or as I told you, they were working on wrist angles and all kinds of stuff in the backswing when I saw him at the U.S. Open. And reported that he had switched to Butch Harmon. Well, Butch came out this week and said, hey, listen, that's not the case. I'm actually irritated by the report that said that I'm working with Jordan. That's not the case at all. I put my eyes on Jordan. He asked me to come take a look at him when they were playing out in Vegas. Cameron gave Jordan and Butch permission to do so. By all accounts, he didn't say a whole lot, just a little bit. The club was getting deep on the backswing, which was not enabling Jordan to turn. He was having to get lifty with his arms. Probably all stuff that Cameron had been saying. Butch just maybe put it in a different context and different verbiage. But, you know, I want to make that correction because I understand how important it is for the players and really the coaches to not have that kind of false news swirling around. One, it's bad for business. And two, you just hate when you don't have things correct. So that's the correction. Butch is not full on with Jordan, although he did consult with him earlier in the year. So I want to start with that. Barn, does that mean anything to you? They're not working together except for they just consulted with each other?
Well, to the listening audience out there, it's to my knowledge, you can backtrack and go to last week's podcast. And I believe you're also capable of going to previous other week's podcast. And in last week's podcast, as I was involved in the show and remember the discussion very vividly, I do not remember either one of us necessarily saying that the two of them were together for 8 hours a day, grinding in the range for 6 days of the week. And basically, I also don't remember having the discussion that, as I recall it, when Nick Faldo was grinding with David Ledbetter back in the early days, that I remember hearing a story that literally after them hitting maybe about 500 to 1,000 balls a day, and I think that after the 21st day, Ledbetter looks at Faldo and says, now we can start working on the downswing. And so I don't know that I remember us having said discussion between Spieth and Harmon. But from my perspective, if Jordan Spieth has Butch Harmon watching him for 10 minutes, that is a better 10 minutes for Jordan Spieth than him not watching him. And if it turns into 30 minutes or an hour, and if it's a random kind of a thing or even a consistent kind of a thing, once a week kind of a thing or once every other week, that is better than no Butch Harmon at all.
So I wanted to get that out of the way. It was on my mind and on my chest. I feel better about it now. I tell you where it wasn't. It wasn't on my back. Tiger Woods, Barney, has had a fifth back surgery. I meant to get Colin Crosby to call in. He he was the one who predicted, remember, after the second back surgery years ago, Dr. Crosby from Elite Sports Medicine said that this is probably going to lead to multiple surgeries. It's eventually going to lead to a fusion, and who knows from there. He was right. This fifth surgery, just cleaning up, there was part of a disc that was pushing on a nerve. It really flared up on him, he said, during the PNC father-son. But he's not going to play in California, Torrey Pines, a place where he's won 8 times. He's not going to play at his own event, Riviera, of course, where he doesn't have a great history. But he will be there to host it, Barney. I'm worried about this.
Well, and so when we saw him at the PNC father-son, which I loved that event and was just glued to the screen watching young Charlie Woods do his thing as an 11-year-old. I absolutely loved the event. But in the meantime, when I did get to see Tiger Woods, boy, it sure seemed like his fastball was just not quite so fast. I know he's never going to swing the club like he did 20 years ago. And guess what? Odds are neither are me or you. But it just seemed even slower than in summer, but it just never even crossed my mind that, let's say, less than a month later, he would have another surgical procedure done to his back, microdiscectomy, and kind of take him off the shelf just for a little bit. Looking back, I guess, maybe exactly as you said with the Dr. Crosby, very predictable that something like that would happen, but I did not see it coming. Maybe I should have, but hopefully he'll recover very, very quickly, and hopefully maybe in a couple months start resuming, maybe playing the Florida swing, and of course try to get himself ready for the Masters.
A couple of things here. I remember at the Masters, just remember he had that flawless first round, absolutely flawless, didn't make any bogeys, looked like he was moving effortlessly. But then he had to come out, and because of the darkness and weather, he had to stagger his starts and play multiple rounds in the same day, and there were all kinds of starts and stops. I remember in the second round, he hit a tee shot on 15, again, I was calling holes 15 and 16, and he hit the shot, and you could hear him audibly, almost at contact, go, and then when he reached down to get the tee, you knew instantly something wasn't right. So I've been concerned since then. But we said, okay, he's, again, having to come out early, start and stop, little cool in November, although it was really, as you remember, humid, that unseasonably warm as well that week. So I was worried about it. And unfortunately, my worries have proven to be correct. So Barney, I injured my back playing basketball with my son this week. So I've been down and out. It's always something. And this getting old is not for sissies, I'll tell you that much. So I was doing my physical therapy over at Elite with my guy Daniel over there, and my girl Morgan. They're fantastic. But I was asking Daniel about when you have these surgeries, especially when you have the fusion, talk to me about the progression of the discs around it. And of course, it's predictable that the discs around the fused disc start to deteriorate faster because now there's more torque on them. And so the question that I asked him was, okay, at what rate do they deteriorate? How many more levels can you fuse, right? Is that the next step with Tiger? Is he going to have, you know, a couple of good spurts and then another microdiscectomy where they go in and clean it out, and then the next one's, the third one is a fusion, and then you just keep going up levels because at some point you can't go anywhere. And basically the synopsis is how much pain can you take? And most people, you would just do rehab and you'd be fine. But when you're trying to get the engine redlined as much as you have to as a professional golfer, especially when you're Tiger Woods and you create that much torque, yeah, you're going to wear down your discs. So Barney, the question I throw to you is this the beginning of the end for Tiger Woods?
Oh, without a doubt, Ned. Now, again, I'd be extraordinarily impressed with the podcast library if it could go all the way back to when he wins the 2019 Masters, because not long thereafter, I want to say that I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you appreciated it, because that might be the last shot that that we're going to get to see. Catching lightning in a bottle in a certain way, and then the chips all falling his way. Because even back in 2019, you could kind of see that again, that he just wasn't going to be playing at an elite level consistently week in, week out. And so you could see that his good was still great, but that you could see that there was going to be weeks he was a little bit off, not feeling so good. And then we saw very much the same last year. And no, going forward, there's no reason for having extraordinary optimism going forward, but you just hope that the weeks he does feel good also happen to be in the big events. And if he can just be great for, let's say, 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks in the year and kind of not feeling so good for the rest of the year, I will buy that all day long.
All day long and twice on Sundays. You better believe it. And it is interesting looking back, if that was his last win on tour, if that was his last major win on tour, you look at the 12th hole. Tony Finau hit it in the water. Ian Poulter, who was in contention, dunked it into Ray's Creek. Molinari inexplicably hit an awful shot from a guy who was arguably the best iron player in the world at that time. Kepka wrenched one, and it was Tiger in the end. So yep. Perhaps it was fate. Perhaps fate knew that that was the last hurrah for Tiger. We will see. Hopefully he'll be back in time for the Masters. Rory McIlroy said he thinks so. Hey, speaking of McIlroy, did you see that video of him alone on the range? European Tour put it out. Oh, it was so fascinating. At sunset, it was McIlroy hitting balls in the desert. The European Tour is on their Mideastern swing. Oh, it was mesmerizing. It was hypnotic. Just every single shot of his practice, one after the other. Oh, it was fantastic.
And he played well. Actually, that video clip I think you're referring to, a friend of mine sent it to me yesterday, and I haven't gone around to seeing it. It's a 7-minute long clip, but evidently it served him well, because in case you haven't looked, he is at the top of the leaderboard, having shot an 8-under in the tournament in Abu Dhabi, and Tyrrell Hatton is one shot off at 7-under, and as it stands, the biggest surprise of the event, at least in my eyes, is Tommy Fleetwood, who's played great at that event. Well, Tommy, I got some bad news for you, because by the looks of it, you're 11 shots away from McIlroy, as he shot a 3-over, which put him at a cool tied for 116th. Not so good.
You know, he didn't win that last year, Tommy Fleetwood. I'm a little worried about Tommy. I've always said I love watching him play, but he has one round every tournament. I've had the opportunity to call out of his golf. He has one round every tournament that keeps him from winning, and it's ball striking. He's known as this prodigious ball striker, but where he'll only hit, you know, 10 greens or something like that. And I don't know. I love watching him play, though. Hope he gets it all together. McIlroy, though, watch that video before you go to bed. Headphones, have nobody around, or just completely focused, because you'll be asleep in about a minute and a half. It is hypnotic is the best way to describe it. Find it on Google. Find it on Twitter. Maybe Barn can put it up on his Twitter. I posted it on Twitter yesterday as well. So I'm at Ned Michaels, by the way. Barney is
at Simplifying Golf.
At Simplifying Golf, because that's what he does. He simplifies the golf swing. If you need a golf lesson, Barney's your man. What's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Again, you can the same website, Simplifying Golf, and again, Twitter. And again, I'm right down the street at the Riverside Golf Links, and I'm not hard to find. I'm there 6 days a week.
Where do you want to go next? When we return from paying some bills here in a second.
When we return, we've got to take a look back and see what happened last week at the Sony Open and then the champion, but also an incredible story about the runner-up. And then from the Sony Open, I've got two things that are going to make you want to say, shut your mouth.
You go ahead and shut it when you're talking to me. All of that's headed your way. Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
Hers and His Plumbing is a rep.
Jeff Smith, if you don't know him, follow him on Twitter. He's at Radar Golf Pro. He's out in Vegas with our man, Joe Mayo. He's going to join us here at the 8:30 mark. He works with some of the world's best players, PGA Tour, LPGA. He is a great mind in the game of golf. But he's going to tell specifically a story about working but not working with one of the world's best young guns in the game. You won't want to miss it. 8:30 mark, Jeff Smith at Radar Golf Pro on Twitter. He joins us here on Global Golf Radio. 615-737-1045. Any questions or thoughts? That's 615-737-1045. Ned Michaels and Barney Allery. Barney, the Sony Open. one of my favorite tournaments. So fun to watch. It was a terrific event, as it always is.
Yeah, so the Sony Open, congratulations to Kevin Na. That Kevin Na just keeps kind of sneaking his way year after year after year, and seemingly, well, I guess the best golf of his life is occurring right now. And I want to say he's probably in his late 30s now. I want to say he's maybe like 37, 38 years old at this point in his life. But it winds up being his fifth career win. But here's something I bet you wouldn't know, because he also is now, with his win at the Sony Open, he becomes the third player to have won an event in each of the last 4 years. And the two other guys happen to be a certain Dustin Johnson and another certain Bryson DeChambeau. So Kevin Na, good on you. And how he pulled it off is he birdied four of the last six holes to shoot a 65. And something else that I thought was rather amazing is in his final round at Kapalua, shot a 79. And you know what? He couldn't have cared less, because he goes in the very next week, again, still in Hawaii, playing the Sony Open. And again, like I said, birdies four of the last six, shoots 65 in the final round, and he wins the thing, and congratulations to him. But Ned, another emerging story is Chris Kirk finishing second. I have to believe you're up to speed on that one.
Incredible, but I'll let you tell the story.
So for those who don't know, Chris Kirk, who about, let's say about 5-6 years ago in the FedEx Cup playoffs, really, really emerged and, you know, really played probably the best golf of his life right then and there. But in the meantime, more recently, well, he took some time off on tour, and it turns out that last week's event was the last event, his last medical exemption to play into an event. And beforehand, he is informed, hey, Chris, hope you play well, because if you want to keep your PGA Tour card, you're going to need to finish third or better. Now, Ned, you've been a world-class player. To even finish 23rd or better, it is not so easy a task. But you know what? Chris Kirk does even better than that, as he shoots four consecutive rounds of 65, puts him at 20 under, finishes tied for second, one shot behind Kevin Na. And Chris Kirk, although you didn't win, I'm sure you were nothing but smiles walking away at Wailea at the Sony Open, that now you're going to get to keep your tour card. So congratulations, and congratulations on taking advantage of an opportunity.
You know, I always have said, Barney, when one of your buddies plays really well and wins an event, you're inspired by it. And you will inevitably see somebody in his tight circle then play well very soon thereafter and typically win. Remember the wildfires in Australia, it seems like forever ago, it was just last season. No Australian had won the year prior. Right. And then all of a sudden, Leishman and all, there were five Australian winners on tour. Well, look at what's happened this year just from the players out of the University of Georgia.
Yep.
Hudson Swafford, he was playing on a major medical. It was his either last or second to last event. And he wins down in the Caribbean, I think, or Mexico. I can't remember which one, but it was earlier this season, not this year, but this season. And then how about last week, you had Harris English winning in Hawaii. And remember, he lost his tour car.
Right.
And he wasn't even supposed to be in Hawaii. And then this week, you've got another major medical. And what a story for Chris Kirk. You mentioned that he took some time off. And he's been open about it. Substance abuse, and just needed to get himself in order. And he's always been a terrific talent, an unbelievable putter, just one of the best. He was college all everything. I think it says a lot about Chris Hack and the program. I always talk about he makes his players, unless you win the tournament or unless you finish in the top 10, you have to go right back into the qualifying cycle. So you better be tough, because you can finish 11th and you're going right back in. You could finish second and then 11th, and you're going right back in. And you're talking about teams that are stacked. You're talking about teams that have PGA Tour players eventually who aren't even in the starting lineup. So you have to be mentally tough. And you start looking at these guys, Hudson Swafford, when he's under the gun, he delivers. Same with Harris English, and now same with Chris Kirk. I find it fascinating. And again, it goes back to the point of when one of your good buddies plays well, just watch out. They're going to start picking off some wins again, these Georgia Bulldogs.
And that's why when you're done mentally grinding, if you want to go to a spot that, again, things slow down for just a little bit, all you got to do is on a half a tank of gas, just go down right the street down to Mississippi. That's where myself, Ned Michaels, and Bob Mueller like to go to unwind. And can you blame us when they got some of the best golf courses on in the entire country? And, of course, they've got some of the best seafood you'll ever find. And, of course, they've got some great chicken and sports betting. Everything you want is in Mississippi. All you have to do is go to www.visitmississippi.org. And now, Ned, are you ready for my two shut your mouths?
Well, I am, but we're going to slide out because I want to make sure we're on time for Jeff Smith, the 8:30 mark. Okay. So you are literally going to have to shut your mouth. Okay. And by the way, I was supposed to do the Mississippi when we came in. That's why Barney, peas and carrots. You see how smoothly he saved me there? I mean, that was brilliant. That was so brilliant. From Hawaii to Mississippi, and Barney was seamless with it. Speaking of seamless, Jeff Smith is going to make your golf swing seamless. He is at Radar Golf Pro on Twitter. And when we return, he's going to join us to tell a story about working, but not really working, with one of the tour's young guns. So stick around. That's next here on Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
If there was ever a...
Making the turn here at Global Golf Radio, 615-737-1045. If you are looking to improve your golf swing, well, this probably is the segment for you, because not only is Barney Allery, who's always with us, it's his show. That's why it's Global Golf Radio with Barney and Ned. Of course, Barney, I say, once you do it, you're always like a Masters champion. You win the Masters, you are always a Masters champion. Middle Tennessee Instructor of the Year, Barney Allery. We are also now joined by a good buddy of mine who has been so fun to watch his career as an instructor not only blossom, but kind of rocket ship off. Jeff Smith, he's out in Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter at Radar Golf Pro. Works with Aaron Wise, Patrick Rogers, some guy you may have heard of named Victor Hovland, and a couple of youngsters coming up, Davis Riley, who, Barney, you and I are awfully familiar with, and another superstar in the making, Brandon Wu. So welcome in Jeff Smith from Vegas. Actually, you're in Palm Springs, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, out here in the desert. It's still a desert. Vegas, Palm Springs, same thing.
Yeah, but it gets windy in Vegas. It doesn't get windy in Palm Springs like a dome.
Yeah, it was pretty mint out there today. It was probably 75 degrees and just not much wind at all. And it was, you could see the scores reflected.
So I know, Barney, you've got a lot of questions for Jeff, and I do too. But before we do that, because I promised him, I didn't promise him, I told him 10 minutes. If I promised him, I would hold him to 10 minutes. But because I told him 10 minutes, we might get a couple minutes extra out of him. But I saw it on Twitter. I saw you post it about working, how you started working with Victor Hovland. And I just thought it was absolutely fascinating. And I was hoping you would recount the story, because it told me everything I needed to know about you as an instructor. How did it all begin with Victor?
Yeah, you know, I guess, well, first of all, I'd say I've known Victor a lot longer than I've coached him. We had some mutual friends, good buddy of ours, Joe Mayo, which you know. Joe actually worked with Victor's roommate, Zach Boshue. And so they got to become good buddies, and Victor would come out to Vegas, and he likes to play poker. And so he would come out and hang out at TPC Summerlin and practice and stuff. And so I got to know him a little bit that way. But last fall, he was, I guess, in the market for a coach, and he was kind of bouncing around and getting some ideas and getting some different opinions from some different coaches. And he got my number from Zach and just said, hey, can I text you some swings? Would you mind taking a look? I'd love to hear your thoughts. And so, you know, he sent me a swing, and I gave him, you know, some thoughts on it. And he liked what I had to say. He liked how I kind of put it together for him. And basically I just a little uncluttered his mind a little bit and just gave him a better understanding of how his swing worked. And, you know, it started from there, you know. And then as I got into my coaching role with him, you know, I can see really quickly, you know, the kid's a world-class ball striker, And, you know, the things that were holding him back were basically his short game and his putting. And so that's where we, you know, he had two things he was really trying to do in his game. Was he wanted to hit the ball further. So we worked a lot on some speed moves and stuff like that. And then also he needed to become better on and around the greens. And so that's been our primary focus. And I feel like we're off to a good start in pretty much all three of those categories.
So Barney, as an instructor yourself, you know, this tour guy comes to you, this can't miss kid who we all think from the outside looking in, his golf swing is flawless. And he's coming to you saying, hey, I want you to help me fix my golf swing. I found it intriguing that Jeff, you had the confidence and the knowledge to say, hey, your golf swing is fine. Let me just help you understand it and how these patterns match up. It's not your golf swing that's going to help you get better. It's your short game. Because as an instructor, isn't it your first inclination to want to help this guy get better? And if he's asking for help on his swing, that's what you're going to give him because that's what he wants?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Barney.
No, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's kind of what I was known for. Probably, you know, full swing mechanics as a coach. And I think that might have been the thing that attracted him to come to me. But I think he figured out real quick I could help him, you know, in those other areas. And I think it was pretty easy for him to see gains. You know, a lot of times when you're working on your swing, you can get out there and just grind and grind and grind. And you might not be seeing a lot of traction for a while. But like it was like a light switch around the greens. You know, there were some simple technique adjustment things, and he's all of a sudden now he's hitting these shots that he hadn't been able to hit. And then from a putting perspective, I really feel like Aimpoint has, you know, has really opened his eyes to some green reading concepts and made him have a lot clearer picture of, because he has a phenomenal stroke. Like if it comes to moving a golf club, he just knows how to do it. You know, whether it's a driver or a putter, but, you know, we all know making putts is a lot more than just making a good looking stroke.
But Jeff, you largely leaving his golf swing alone, I think is also a testament to your growth and your development, and maybe to some extent your self-confidence, but also prioritizing for him what needs to improve the fastest, because also I wouldn't be one bit surprised that if he shows up to you, let's say 10 or 15 years ago, heck yeah, I might want to change his swing. I want to see if he can win with my mom's swing. But instead for you to have the wisdom to sit there and go, no, son, you're a darn good ball striker. This is what we need to work on to develop you as a great player and not necessarily just have a perfect swing.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly right. Honestly, I looked at him and I said, dude, you finished top 15 on strokes gained approach last year. It ain't going to get much better than that. You know, statistically speaking, it's just not going to get much better than that. Now, understanding that if I could help him hit it a little further off the tee, then he would have, you know, more short irons and things of that nature into those greens, which again leverages his strengths. He's a great short middle iron player. And so it's just kind of a, you know, it's just how all the kind of pieces of the puzzle fit together for him competitively.
It's Jeff Smith joining us here on Global Golf Radio. You can find him at Radar Golf Pro. Also check out CourseKings.com, an unbelievable resource for improving your own game. And he's nice enough to sometimes share with the public, and then other stuff you got to pay for the membership. Well worth it, I promise. For Victor, I think, Barney, you may have told me this story a couple of years ago. He's a ping guy, or he was at the time. I believe he is. He still ping?
Yeah. Jeff? Yes.
And so they have their putting lab. And I think something along the lines of, Barney, you correct me if I'm wrong, he has the most, quote unquote, perfect strokes consecutively ever in their putting lab. Is that right?
Well, so Jeff, you probably know more about this than I do, but I work with a young man who's hoping to join Victor and all of those talented other guys that you mentioned. So he's working hard on it. But he was at the ping putting studio and the fitting center that they have, and his putting stroke was awfully good. But the guy that was doing the fitting, he said, "You're good, but you're not Victor Hovland good, because something about Victor Hovland's putting stroke, the mechanics of his putting stroke, were as borderline flawless as Ping has ever seen."
Yeah, I would say he actually has a very unique putting stroke, and it largely mimics his full swing. And I find that to be pretty common amongst good players, is they'll typically carry that, you know, however they swing the club throughout their bag, how they chip, how they putt, and so on and so forth. But, you know, Victor's famous in his swing for having a lot of, you know, wrist flexion, a lot of boat or arch to his wrist, which really gets the club face into a pretty closed position. Well, he kind of does the same thing in his putting stroke. So on the backswing, he gets the face into a very closed position. And then on the way through, he opens it up perfectly. So what it does is it produces a very, very low rate of club face closure. And, you know, that topic is highly debatable amongst even, you know, putting instructors on whether or not you want to have a low rate of closure or not. It's just something that when I've measured him on the Sam Putt Lab, and I've probably measured 75 tour players on there, he's got by far the lowest rate of closure that I've ever measured on a Sam Putt Lab. So it's kind of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we do a lot of work, you know, on starting line drills and things of that nature, and he never really tends to struggle in those areas. So he can start the ball online. He's got very good touch control from distance. Again, that's the feel, you know, the feel that he has as a player. So if he's reading the greens well, he generally is going to make putts.
I love that. And you're right, it is debatable whether the face closure, whether it's okay to have or not. I'm a big believer in it. If you, the less you can have, the less moving parts, the better. And so, Barney, to your point, if Victor has measured out in Ping as the best mechanical putter, and Jeff, you're putting these pieces together of now let's learn how to read the greens, and you're talking about these short game shots that he didn't have and it's technique that he now owns. Holy smokes, where do I go in Mississippi, Barney, to bet on Victor Hovland? I mean, I can't wait to watch what he does this season.
That's right.
Gambling's legal in Mississippi?
Oh, they got a great sports book down there. You better believe it. Of course, I can't gamble. CBS policy, you're not allowed to gamble. But if I could, I think I might throw a few coins Victor's way. Oh, it's going to be fun to watch. Hey, all right, Jeff, I told you 10 minutes. I'm going to stay true to my word. It has been exactly 10 minutes. So thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you got tour players hounding you and texting you to come meet them on the range early tomorrow out at the Amex in Palm Springs. So really, really appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Anytime.
That is Jeff Smith. You can find him at Radar Golf Pro. And, of course, make sure you check out CourseKings.com. Really, truly a phenomenal resource to improve your golf game. And if you ever get a chance to get a lesson with Jeff, he's probably not going to tell you, Barney, that your golf swing is flawless and you need to work on it. He didn't tell me that. And I've worked with him. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. I don't know where we're going next. Oh, Barney's got to shut his mouth. That's next on Global Golf Radio 104.5 The Zone.
You've seen Rich Eisen on...
Ned, you need to stay in your lane. I've been telling you for years, stay in your lane. The name of the show, Ned, is Global Golf Radio. The name of the show is not Pickup Basketball. What in the world are you doing playing pickup basketball and then turn around and hurt yourself? But in the meantime, thank goodness, at least your hair looks great.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before I get a haircut. I jacked up my back. I've really never had back problems. Hip problems, yes. Shoulder problems, yes. But now I understand why if you have a lower back problem, you literally cannot swing a golf club. I've already been dry needled, physical therapy. I'm hoping it goes away quickly, but man, this really stinks. But my hair does look good, I will say. Uncle Classic Barbershop, that's my barbershop, and it's just a good experience going in there. You know you're going to get a barber that is high quality and well-trained, and they're all over the place now too, Barney. I either go Brentwood or Nolensville, but of course they're in East Nashville, North Nashville, West Nashville. They're everywhere. You can find them online, and my favorite part is you don't even have to call. You can just make an appointment online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, uncleclassicbarbershop.com.
And so now, Ned, now I get to say about my two shut your mouths that come about from this past weekend Sony Open. And here comes Shut Your Mouth number one. Ned Michaels, did you know that Kevin Na is one of only two players that was part of the Q School class of 2003 still playing on the PGA Tour? And for $1 million, that maybe, again, you could put a little sports bet at over in Mississippi. For $1 million, I bet you can't tell me who the other guy is.
No, I can't. I'm going to say Kevin Kisner.
Try Brian Gay. Kevin Na and Brian Gay are the only two remaining players from the Q School class of 2003. Ned, two of the shortest hitters on tour, medium short, basically, at best. But doggone it, year after year after year, they keep plugging along and they keep staying on tour and continuing to win, as a matter of fact. And I find that to be absolutely amazing.
I was thinking 2003.
Yes.
Holy smokes, that does make you shut your mouth.
Because, Ned, here's another something else about little Kevin Na is he – first got on tour, I want to say he was about 20 years old, I believe, as I recall it. And another one of my favorite stories of Kevin Na is at the time, he's playing with veteran player J. Don Blake. And Kevin Na's a rookie. And J. Don Blake's, let's say, upper teenage daughter happens to be following. And let's say she's like college age, maybe. And there's no one following the group at whatever this tour event of Kevin Na and J. Don Blake. And Kevin Na kind of noticed Jadon Blake's daughter. So Kevin Na, the story goes, he looks at Jadon Blake, goes, wow, who is that? Because he's like, why is she following us? And Jadon Blake goes, that's my daughter. And Kevin Na goes, really? Huh, interesting. And like, well, what's her name? And then like down the fairway, well, how old is she? And then like on the next hole, like, well, is she seeing anyone? And just on and on and on. And finally, on about like the fourth hole, Jadon Blake says, look, man, if you don't mind, I'm kind of working here at the office. We're kind of playing here for real, okay? So, again, enough with you asking about my daughter. But anyhow, so that's one of my favorite Kevin Na stories. But my other shut your mouth, Ned, did you also happen to notice that Joaquin Niemann the prior week loses in the playoff to Harris English, and then he shoots himself a little 20 under at the Sony Open as well. And Ned, when it's all said and done, Joaquin Niemann, you think you might like Hawaii? Evidently, he loves Hawaii because he shoots 45 under in the great state of Hawaii. His scoring average is 65.8. If that doesn't make you want to say shut your mouth.
There was a lot of conversation on Twitter about people, they hated that he was 45 under and it wasn't a test of golf, either course. Like, I thought it was fantastic. Listen, it's cold here in Nashville. It's cold throughout most of the United States. I'm just happy to watch him play golf. And frankly, I'm happy to watch him make birdies. I don't want to watch him shoot two over and win or two under. Like, that's what the beginning of the season is about. Guys might be a little rusty. We're not going to make the courses too hard. You're going to get this nice event that if you won or if you're in the top 30 this year, you get Kapalua. Sony, it all depends on the wind. If it gets super windy, it can play very difficult. And then, of course, Palm Springs, it's playing in a dome, so the scores are always low. I thought it was fascinating, and he played great, so who cares if he shot 45 under or 45 over? But that's pretty impressive, 45 under for 8 rounds of golf.
It's very impressive, and again, a sign of things to come. Again, if you want to put a sports bet in Mississippi on Joaquin Niemann, you have at it, because I got a feeling that eventually that bet's going to pay off. And so now, Ned, is it time to turn the page and look at what's happening in the first round on the leaderboard at the American Express?
We can do. We probably need to get used to doing this now on Thursday night and paying a little bit more attention. But I'd like to talk about equipment changes first, okay, and then we can go to the scores. Okay. Because there are a couple of big ones. One of them I didn't even know about. You just told me, which was fascinating. And that is Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
What in the world is he doing?
So Brooks Koepka, God bless Brooks Koepka. So Brooks Koepka goes on and wins four majors. All four majors were with Mizuno Irons. As I understand it, he won his first two majors with, I forget what, it's hard for me to keep up with Mizuno because to me it's like the alphabet soup, trying to keep up with the MP something and then something else. And I wish once in a while they'd call one of their clubs with a name instead of letters and numbers again. But anyway, so he won his first two majors with a certain set of Mizunos, won his other two majors with another set of Mizunos, and now, who knows, Ned, maybe in his mind, we know good and well his knee was a problem last year, but who knows, maybe he blames the clubs, because right here and now, he's playing out there in Palm Springs with a brand new set of Strix on irons. He is auditioning some Strixons, and so far, the more things change, the more things stay the same, Brooks, because you shot even par, and for a lot of people, even par would be awesome. But on the PGA Tour, even par in Palm Springs is not so good, because as it stands, he's tied for 104th.
That ain't good. Didn't we learn something from Molinari and changing clubs when you're one of the best players in the world? Didn't we learn anything? Wasn't there a lesson there? What's Kenneth doing? Listen, Strixon makes good equipment. They can't afford to pay him, so we know that he's doing this for free or at least a heavy discount. He may end up going back to Mizuno. They can't afford to pay him either. That's crazy. I'm telling you what. A lot going on there. Trying to come back from knee procedures and switching equipment. Patrick Reed switched from Callaway.
Yep.
To Titleist.
Yeah,
I think that's okay. Those clubs are pretty similar. Callaway has a little bit thinner top line, but you know, Titleist can make anything, right? I mean, Adam Scott, remember those blades that Adam Scott had? They were like butter knives. So Titleist can make you whatever. I think that's an okay change. I would expect him to make the adjustments no problem.
And speaking of which, I'm a little bullish on Patrick Reed for this year, because for those who don't know, it's my understanding he's hooked up with David Ledbetter. And David Ledbetter, among other things, is trying to pump him up, and basically said the other day something along the likes of, there's not many on tour that are a whole lot better than Patrick Reed. And so I watched him today on the TV, and he's got this new little takeaway move that's not exactly like Justin Thomas, but there's some similarities to that. And I got a feeling Patrick Reed's about to have a really good year. And who knows? He might make those Titleist clubs look really, really good.
Opened with a 68 today, tied for 15th. Somebody told me, it was Michael Breed told me his lob wedge that he does most of his chipping with is 7 degrees flat.
Wow.
Isn't that hard to believe? I'm going to have to mess around with that. I'm going to go step on my lob wedge tonight. 7 degrees, never heard of anything like that.
Wow.
And then a big one that I really has me scratching my head. I think this is going to be a tough change just because the look is so different. The feel is really different. But John Rahm goes from TaylorMade to Callaway.
Yeah, you know what? I find that really strange. I haven't heard all the inside information as to what in the world just happened there. Because to me, I really perceive John Rahm to be part of potentially what I call the big five over there at TaylorMade, to go with Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, and then Matthew Wolff. And I saw John Rahm as really being a big part of that going forward. And evidently, I wonder if Callaway brought the Brinks truck right to his doorstep, or if he jumped ship.
Yeah, his bag is going to be really heavy this year with all the money in it. they paid him a boatload. I think Sergio made that same switch, right, from Adidas TaylorMade to Callaway. So maybe there's something there. Who knows? So those are our three switches of equipment. Koepka, that is questionable, highly questionable, going to Strixon. Patrick Reed, that won't be a problem. Titleist and John Rahm, to be determined. Coming out of Callaway. Let's now go out to Palm Springs, the American Express, Barney. It's no longer a pro-am format, right?
That's
They're just using a couple of courses. So it's just the players. You look like you want to say something. Go for it.
But Brandon Hagee, who has 10 birdies today, is your first round leader with a 64. He got in the event because John Wong withdrew. How's that for taking advantage of an opportunity?
Oh, got some onions, the boy does. Coming out as an alternate, gets in 64, leads by one. He's got to have a couple more low rounds like that. I mean, the weather's perfect. Greens are perfect. Golf course is intimidating. Ben Ahn, who lost six balls, Barney, in the practice round, hitting him in the water. He shoots 65, 7 under. I mean, that's the thing about these tour players, right? They can play terrible one day and then perfectly the next. He's only one behind.
And Ned, call me a prisoner of the moment, but another guy that I'm bullish on for this year, maybe it's just a good player having a good day, but Tony Finau, Tony Finau played exceptionally well. He's got a new putting grip to go with the new putting stroke. If he gets confidence on the greens, look out for Tony Finau.
A couple of guys, news and notes. Doug Gim, he's a good young player. Maverick McNealy also, I think, keep an eye on him. Any big weeks. I think we're, are we out of time? Did we get a signal from Ryan Albanese? We're done? We're out of here. Global Golf Radio, we'll see you next Thursday. We got 10 seconds left. 9, 8, we're out of here. Have a good one, everybody.